zu ihr zu make that any apology. Do we have any apology? Can we close up in the traffic? We'll be here. And I can see them by the way, the traffic out there is bad.
My name is for the apology from the Deputy Commission. So we need the apology from the Minister that he did a problem with the channel, something which is for that. And we also have an apology from Mr. J.H. and the Commission. The Commission.
So are the apologies honorable members? Are we accepting the apology? Can someone move for the acceptance of the apology?
I move for the apology of the acceptance of the apology.
Thank you. Thank you. We have received a gift from the Deputy Minister, the pledge. And, okay, there are also three gifts that we are receiving. We would like to thank the Deputy Minister for the gesture, and we hope that the response about the pledge you're going to hear sometime, maybe today. We are now, I'm going to give you the question.
I want to be good.
Yes, you have to be clear. I'll now give over to the acting teaching. To us the implementation of the use of Official Languages Act. Over to you, Acting Teacher.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. I'll request my colleague, DDG Monica, to take us through the presentation and then we'll take the questions.
Good morning, members. Thank you very much for the invitation. I'm joined by my colleague, Dr. Ngwelo Jokwini from the National Language Service, who will be my able support person in this process. So, in this, what we've done is create quite a structured presentation to look at both the use of the Digital Languages Act, the progress that we've made, our own language policy, and progress with regard to the question we received for exemptions and bills made by other stakeholders and the monitoring and reporting on the use of national languages. The second part of the presentation will be looking at the South African Language Petitions Council Act, its background, the business case, the drafting of the regulations, its funding, and the interest spent on the Treasury. So this is just on the point of process. Would you like us to pause between the first and second parts to take questions, or would you allow me the full presentation?
Honourable members, what do you think? Should we pause after the first one, or should we have the whole presentation and ask questions then? Okay. Thank you.
Thank you, my friend. So, Section 6 of the Constitution regulates languages, and it essentially obliges national governments and provincial governments to regulate and monitor the use of languages. And it's in this context of this constitutional obligation to use the legislative measures that the Use of Official Languages Act number 12 of 2012 was promulgated. And a lot of folks around the table have been in structures before. The passage of the bill was long and complex, but it was seen to be a major victory for language rights in the country generally. So on 7th of May 2013, the Use of Official Languages Act was promulgated. job is to regulate the use of official languages by national governments. Section 14 requires all national departments, national public entities, and national public enterprises to adopt official language policies within 18 months of the commencement of the Act. As a result, the final date for adoption of national language policies is in fact the 2nd of November 2014. It's a small technicality, but the 2nd of November is in fact a Sunday, so Monday, the 3rd of November, in fact, becomes the official deadline. The Act establishes a legislative framework for national government departments, national public entities, and public enterprises to regulate and monitor the use of official languages, draft language policies, and establish language units. Very importantly, as a device to facilitate this process, on 28 February 2014, regulations for the use of official languages have been finalized. And this basically gives guidance to institutions on how to draft language policies. It informs institutions of the timelines for the establishing language units and the processes for applying for applications. So the aim of the regulations is very much to provide a framework and guideline and in essence to simplify the process to make sure that as many institutions as possible comply. So this regard to the progress made by the DEC. The DEC convened a language forum on 20 February 2013 to provide an opportunity for all relevant stakeholders to receive information and education on the Act, at that point the draft regulations, and to really begin to inform them of their roles and responsibilities. In September of 2013, we convened a stakeholders workshop to once again, and this was a much broader one, to workshop on the use of the Official Languages Act and again the draft regulation, and also very importantly to give stakeholders an opportunity to make input into the regulation. Obviously stakeholders had an opportunity to make input into the Act during the process, but also given how practical and how strong regulations are intended to be as a guiding framework, the workshop gave the stakeholders and major implement the Act the opportunity to also input on the regulation. On 26 and 27th of June, we had a two-day language forum for stakeholders to report on progress on the development of their language policies. On the 14th of August 2014, through the GCIS, the DEC circulated a notice reminding stakeholders of the deadline for the adoption of language policies. On the 12th of September 2014, we sent a notice to the mailing body requesting DGCOs, heads of national departments, national public entities, and national public enterprises to report to us on 30 September on the progress made by the institutions and implementation of the Act. On the 14th of September, we sent the same notice to the Sunday Times and the City Press, again requesting DGs and CEOs of all national government departments, public entities, and public enterprises to report to us by the 30th of September on the progress that they have made. Now, with regard to our own language policy, on the 27th of March 2014, we had an internal consultative workshop. Based on that workshop, a series of questionnaires were circulated to Department of Arts and Culture staff, and feedback was received and incorporated. On the 30th of June, we finalized the DEC language policy. On the 12th of August, it was adopted by the DEC executive management team. And on the 30th of September, the language policy was given to call public comment in terms of the Act. So we are on track at this point to finalize our language policy. The comments close tomorrow, if I'm not mistaken, it's Thursday, the 29th. So we are on track to have our policy in place by the regulatory deadline. With regard to institutions who have applied or exemption from establishing language units, the Act provides a framework for doing so. The Office of the Pension Fund of Judy Petra has requested exemption on the ground that it's a small organization with less than 35 employees with limited funding. If exempted, the Office of the Pension Fund of Judy Petra will assign a senior person as its opponent to perform language functions as it would be performed by a language unit. It's critical to note that there is no one that can be exempt from having a language policy, it is only the exemption with regard to a language unit. The Black House Company, one of our own families, a small organization with a staff company of 86 employees, it has a language policy. If exempted, the Black House is able to assign a senior person to perform these functions that would have been done from a language unit and use the services of the KZN Cultural Language Services Unit. With regard to progress made by other stakeholders, following the public notices in September, We've heard from the Warner Journal of Royal Republics, who have drafted the language policy which was tabled before the accounting officer on the 30th of September. The proposed languages for museum are Sushitu, English, and Kishizulu. The Department of Public Works have drafted the language policy which is still going to be tabled with their expo. The National Heritage Council has reported that they will be applying for exemption and it does not have a language policy. The National Credit Regulator has policy development process is underway. And three languages will be adopted, mainly English, Kishizulu, and Shetan. Mm-hmm. Has a language policy which was approved on 13 May 2014. Implementation will be rolled out for 14 November to prepare for the introduction of the language unit. The Council of Freedom Park adopted its language policy that will use three official languages, English, Shetan, and Kishizulu. However, on specific request, Freedom Park will also strive to provide services in other official languages, including South African Shire language. The Department of Economic Development has not yet adopted the language policy. The state has reason provided that they have new departments that they will comply. The Commission for Conciliation, Mediation and Arbitration, which is CMA, adopted its language policy in 1997 already in its own form and continues to provide services in multiple languages. The Land Bank has adopted language policy and will be requesting extension from the Minister for adopting the policy. With regard to monitoring of and reporting on the use of official languages, according to Section 9 of the Use of Official Languages Act, the Minister is responsible for monitoring the use of official languages by national government for government purposes. Every national department, public entity, and public enterprise must submit a report to the Minister and the Pan African Management on the activity of its language unit, the implementation of its language policy, any complaints received regarding its use of official languages, and any other matter which the Minister may prescribe. And that chairperson brings me to the end of the first part of the presentation, and as agreed, I will pause for questions if that's appropriate.
Thank you very much, Bixi. A question or comments for another member? Another member of the tech?
Thank you, Chair. I don't know, maybe she would have understood. What surprises me is they only speak of English, Isizulu, and so on. What about other languages? Because there is Sipedi, there is Isikosa, there is all these other languages, but we only refer to three languages. Thank you.
Thank you for the question.
Thank you, Chair. Notwithstanding the fact that the accentuated in language policy section 4, subsection 2b, that a minimum of three official languages to sort of answer on the ground about this question in terms of the languages. But the gradual addition of Afrikaans and Isixhosa, especially in these entities, because these languages are the most spoken, not that you are totally neglecting that, but these are the most spoken languages. The most spoken language in the Western Cape is Afrikaans, English, and Isixhosa. In the Northern Cape is Afrikaans, English, and Setswana. In the Eastern Cape is Isixhosa, English, and Afrikaans in that order. So now, What we need to assert now in terms of these entities, in terms of where they are based, the sections in those provinces, because the act itself will also then mean that in the Eastern Cape there wouldn't be as an official language in the, so the department needs to respond to that one. I also see that in line with Honorable Rabbi's question, like the War Museum of the Boer Republic. Now, totally disregard Afrikaans Day is actually a step in the face because those Boer Republics were Afrikaans Republics from the Dutch. So I think that some of these, the language policies that we tabled need to be seriously looked at. And I seriously doubt whether all the entities will be in will be able to comply by the shared date of 2 November.
very honorable.
My other concern is the sign language. The other day there was a presentation and the presenter was saying that sign language was not part of the constitution. And I'm concerned that how could it be not part of the constitution when we have both deaf and dumb people staying in our country? How come that they were being excluded?
Yes, thank you, Chairman. Thank you for the comment on the wall, the museum. I think the whole idea of the language policy is to be able to be more adaptable, because South Africa is a complicated country, we have languages, different regions, different histories in a certain part. And surely, if you took those languages, reduce the opposition in that war. My grandfather was in that war, the Afrikaners fighting, there's no Afrikaners being used, they said for the English. Just to comment, so I think in that case, surely Afrikaans is important here. And his name was Peter Moses, we can check on his, he gets 40 for the inch, and he never liked the police after that. But my problem is, and I missed the first part of it, there's many departments that I did not see any report back. What measures of power do the minister have, does the minister have, to enforce it in a certain sense, because I can promise you in court cases, is they don't come back in a sense. Some of these entities are important, it's good that they already acted. But I'm not sure that all the departments realize the seriousness of this and complications of this, and I'm not sure whether the minister can put pressure on them, speak in the cabinet to them, tell them the consequences, because they are running out at the moment, yeah.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Are there any other comments? In fact, my question was, I think it aligns with what Honourable Member is saying. I thought you'd say these are the departments, which one does have, that we don't, you don't give us a picture of how far the departments have gone in implementing the, ensuring that by 2nd November they will be ready for implementation. We don't have that picture. And I think that picture is important for us, for departments and entities of the departments. And one other thing, I know that department is saying that they are not, they don't have the budget for unit. And maybe as a committee it would be good for us to hear if there are budgetary processes, you introduced this when they were in the budgetary process, so that we can be able to measure if they just ignore this. Because if they had already done their process, then we can't expect them. But if they were, you know, not doing the budgetary process, then they have an opportunity to do this. If you can just give us an idea of when did you introduce a list before or after the budgetary process. And also, I think that has been raised by other honorable members as well. Like if you say, when people say you are going to, the language is that well, like freedom card, there are adopted the language policy, and they will use three official languages. Do you, or what do you do when something like that comes up? Because freedom card is a national thing. There are people from the Eastern Cape that are there. So when we get there and concept speak, we are saying, well, the next one, what should I do? Because I think it's important, if you're talking about a national body, a national body can't just choose three languages. A national body is not a provincial body. If it's in the Eastern Cape, okay, you can do Afrikaans and English. But if it's national, it really caters for everybody. So what do you do as a department? Do you just accept, okay, you say two languages is fine, or do you interrogate and challenge them and make them see that they are a national body, and if they are a national body, it means they need to keep up most of the languages. There are the provinces you can understand, they will use the languages that are being used as traditional.
Thank you, honorable members. Talking to the issue of the total list, we will be able to bunch others second, and that's when we can be able to give you the total, because I'm still in process of submissions and so forth. So this is at a particular date. So to be able to give the community a clearer picture, we can be able to forward saying these are the list of eligible entities and departments who should be having the language units and policies, and then these are the ones that have then table, and then it will then show the list of those that are still not compliant.
Actually, I think by now we should be have a picture. By now we should have a picture of who's in progress, who's not started, whatever. And this is the picture that we want of the committee. Because you would be having some sort of a picture if you were following this one. If you were monitoring the process, you wouldn't come on the second and say, oh, hi, that one has not started. You should be now telling us that Department A, this is where they are. Department B, they're not even started. So we should be having this information by now, or 2G, on the second, to say, oh, no. So please, I think this information is something that you should have.
Thank you very much, welcome my colleague Dr. Jokrin. We are on to the remaining questions. Shall that be sign language, a complex one, it is not an official language. And in fact,
the point that has that's already started.
Thank you, Chairperson. We've reported on the information we have based on the effort that we've made to follow up with departments. Now, recording at the national, that the actually specific international government, public entities, public enterprises, and national departments, by its definition, it is national, so it does not speak to provincial. The information that we have is the information that we've received based on notices, calls, language forms, etc.
Yes, we appreciate all those that have responded to the notice that have been sent out, so it is
correct. What have you done about it? What have you done about this comment that has not responded?
The complexity is that the law is there to guide and enforce. The department has had any number of different meetings, has sent out a range of notices, has made every single opportunity available to departments to avail themselves of the skills and expertise at the Department of Arts and Culture. But at the end of the day, compliance to legislation is a compliance issue. So we have led the horse to water. We have given it as many opportunities as we can in terms of our remit. We have followed up. There have been any number of different language forums. We've been notices sent. And at this point, we are seeing a slow rate of compliance. It is absolutely true. The
minister aware of this? Is the minister aware of this?
Yes, Sir Bochen. And he's encouraged us to make sure that we follow up and make sure that we are able to look at mechanisms over and above what the limitation might be in regulating, but what are the other soft measures to ensure that there is that compliance. And so, for example, from the measure would be to show those that comply and those that don't comply, and in a way be able to like an aim and shame kind of mechanism to encourage more of the compliance. So there are those kind of strategies that are being explored. Once the deadline has passed, then we'll publish that and then be able to have a campaign to be able to say how do we increase the compliance. So the minister is aware and has tasked the team to look at how we can encourage more compliance.
Are the minister aware, the minister of the departments have not complied? Are they aware that their departments have not complied?
No, I took the view as well, I didn't take your view of the churches. So I think at this stage, the listener myself, I mean, that sounds good. So sometimes there's the best and they try the best, but I think they need some authority now. So maybe it's time for the minister to write something and he signs it, or that he puts it in heaven, because the only way for him to work is to say, this is where it is in my truth now, because I know I've been there for 5 years. Some ministers will not be asking servants, writing the source servants, but maybe it's from that point of view. And then we can start to explain that we did everything. Maybe that will say then ask us to say that we just want to act, how we can do something about this. That's just an idea.
That's very important. That means that my mother is aware that the other people shall not complain, and he needs to take it to public. But after the second, tell the education.
Thank you, sir. I would further like to know whether areas like the mines have they applied to use a particular language, because also in the mines you find a diverse, you know, people there, and whether any of the mines has been a submission or not.
Provision the removal of the Act, which speaks to national government departments, national public institutes, and national public enterprises only. At this point, it does not have the same scope to touch private enterprise, unfortunately. Perhaps that is something that this particular iteration of Parliament is beginning to consider. But for the moment, this particular Act speaks only to the government sphere and only at national government level.
I think it's important for the department to be take it a step further by informing the minister and essentially timing him of the implications of this. And maybe tomorrow, the cabinet, if the cabinet tomorrow, I'm writing something that is going to the minister to say, to alert other minister that your department are not complying. And this is a very serious, you know, offense. It's a very serious, it has very serious implications. I think it's important for the minister, because sometimes officials you can go this far. Because the other teachers and CPGs, they say, yeah, I'm not enough. Because we are at the same level, so because they don't have authority over us. But I think if you escalate the minister, so that the minister can speak to other ministers. About second, and a week, less than a week, we are less than a week to watch the session. And I think it's important for you to do this. We would like to hear from you if you report to us the steps that you have taken after this meeting. And you, did you respond to the question of language units, the Bajana culture?
Just going back to the list of questions, the sign language changed because it's not an official language, and in fact at this point we don't even have an agreed South African sign language. We have a range of dialects of sign language, so sign language is a long way to go before it's almost officially a language ever used. With regard to the measures and powers that the minister has, I mean obviously with compliance-based legislation, there is an extent to which the minister has powers of influence, but it is not as though we hold back budgets or anything because of lack of compliance. But obviously, in the compliance world, the regularity audit will pick up the question of language as a non-compliance issue. And I would also like to request the help of the portfolio committee, but as you said on other committees, is also to use your powers of influence to ask the right kind of questions of departments as well in other spheres, so that we can actually push together to make sure that there is compliance. With regard to the question of the language issue, the legislation is clear there must be a minimum of three. The legislation did not indicate that all national government departments, public entities, and private and public enterprises need to adopt 11 official languages. So when the Sloppers are 63, they are well within their rights to do so. It is certainly disappointing that we're not seeing a wider range, but at this point we're also seeing a very small sample grouping of individuals. And we can certainly get in touch with departments and the public entities that have come forward and speak to them about the extent to which there's a challenge of scope in the language that they've adopted. With regard to Afrikaans, and perhaps Dr. Duquenne can help us out here, but I'm not entirely sure why we're not seeing Afrikaans coming up quite so strongly. It is widely spoken, and not just by my South Africans, so it is a curiosity, but it might also be a factor of kind of where the country sees itself or where it finds itself in terms of how it sees the political imperative of language. So it may not be an indication of a lack of use, it may just be an indication of how other languages will be brought to the fore, perhaps. But again, I'm speaking out of correction. With regard to the budgeting process, I think Dr. Jay can perhaps highlight that. But one of the things is obviously as we move through the system in its entirety, because it's legislation, departments, other entities and enterprises are expected themselves to do this work because it is after all the law. And that's why it is so important that this act was passed, so that it did create a regulatory framework, not just the guidelines, not just the policy. So it is essential that we start to see the consequence management coming through from the regularity audit and the compliance audit processes as departments go forward and begin to look at this as a compliance issue, not just as a political win or a nice to have. Dr. Duquenne, I don't know if you want to come in on any of the questions.
Thank you. Good morning, Honorable Chair. Good morning, Honorable Members. Just to add to what my DG has asked me to say on. Firstly, the question on the budget. The chairperson, Honorable Chairperson, raised this question asking us to when was this brought to the affected entities or entities concerned. The end was passed in 2012. So in other words, is that this means that there was ample time for all local actors to begin to do their budgeting. It's not like something which just came after they had done everything as far as budgeting is concerned. But then also come to the question of our grants, which have been developed by some. We may not at this point in time be able to say exactly why that has happened, because the detail is supposed to be in the policies. As acting DG indicated, the end provides for a minimum of 3 and a maximum can be even beyond 11 if you like. That is 11 official numbers. But then it specifies the pages to what measures are going to be in place to provide for those who want to be searched in languages that are not chosen. If, like, for instance, you're chosen 3, then what are you going to be having in place to provide for those who will be choosing a language outside the 3? But then, again, the detail will be in the policy. So in the absence of their policy, this just what is telling someone to say that this is what was chosen, but they have not indicated as to what are we going to do with regard to those languages that were not chosen. But certainly the world forced them to say something, so we believe that in their positions they have the detail in that regard. Thank you.
Thank you. Believe it's not a strategy, but I think it's important. In fact, this was going to be my next question. That when people say we have a policy, do you show the policy and actually see what it is saying and have a dialogue with them? Or you just, okay, we have a policy. Okay, you did. You put it aside. What's the process? Can you give us an idea of how you do this?
Yeah, can
I? And you know that I will have a Honorable Sovelli, and I will have Honorable Masango and Honorable Melder.
Thank you, Chairperson. Chairperson, mine will be a follow-up on the issue of the sign language.
Because I'm very passionate about that. I have a niece who I'm a guardian of with her. I understand what she's saying, that what is being said, that in South Africa we don't have our own sign language. Actually, even as a parent, as a child in a school, you even experience it in terms of how the students communicate among each other from one school to another. There's a difference in terms of how they use the sign language. But then I think the issue is, are there any plans in the department to make sure that we have our own South African sign language? Because it's a problem. This year and currently, Japanese and some of them, they don't progress as far as grade 12. Basically, because we don't have our own language that they can communicate, that they understand. It's been difficult for us also as parents. Because you get, for example, I got a training from an NGO, and when I have to communicate with the son at home, some of the things are different. We can't communicate. When we sign, for example, in TV, you find that he's signing it with another form of sign language, I'm also signing it with another form, because I'm trained by other people, either adopted a American sign or a London sign, but there's a lot of different categories in sign language. But the problem is, in South Africa, we need to have our own sign language, whereby all of them they can communicate, even if a child with deaf means the child who is deaf who comes from Cape Town, they will be able to communicate. But currently, communication is still a problem because they can't, they don't sign the same way. Because when you are signing, there are signs that you use. It's not like when you only use alphabets. There are signs that you use that tells you this is your room, this is a TV, this is a dog, this is something other, spelling the name dog. So really, I want the department to say something on the issue, because the issue is very important of our own South African sign language, whether it's in English or it's in Sesotho or it's in Xhosa, but we really want to see our own sign language. Thank you.
I just want to ask one question that has been bothering me. The apps that we are talking about, do we have any other filler apps within our government establishment? I'm asking this question because in this act, conference with most of the apps, all apps are made for the rest of our service. But this act is made for department, and it is hosted in a ministry. Do we have any other act of this nature? Because I would have thought that I don't want to open the debate. I'm just trying to understand. But an act of this nature would have best to the best to be decided in the presidency and not in the department. Because practically what it means is that the president must owe an account to the minister. Where else it doesn't diminish in the presidency or in monitoring evaluation within the presidency would make sense. Nobody reads every act. And that's where my main concern is. I mean, if an act is not made by me, I wouldn't be able to worry to the audience. So far, other than any other act in the system and the ordinary language made by a department that has completely invited to it and hosting several 2 years. I'm just asking, do we have a similar act in the system? And which one would that be? Just for interest. And in the reason why I do not want to get into this other issue like your sign language, and I know that sign language is not an official language, but you know, as everyone was speaking about questions, then in my mind, the next question that comes is, so in principle, was right in this. In this language, I mean, we could try, everyone has tried to judge for a wrong interpretation, but if what colleagues are saying here is true, and I don't know, then judges should not be, I mean, we should be going to that extent and saying he was
Jewish only when learning. That means, you know, I would understand Chinese language better than the Russian. Sorry, Jen.
Another
yes, thank you, Jim. Jim, I think I don't want to say he's a good ambassador, but if you have a Guni language, a Sutra language, English and Afrikaans, the statistics tell you 98% of South Africans will understand, will have something that they understand because of the relationship between the languages. I'll come back to the Woolworm Museum, as I said, it's fascinating. I understand that in Bob addresses the national audience. I should have been there, must make a gesture to stay right with that. He said three languages, let's go for more. But something like the Woolworm Museum is unbelievable, it goes for Sutra, English, and Zulu. If it's an add-on, that they say Afrikaans is acceptable because it's a common purpose in the war, then it's positive. That means they're going up four languages in front of this 98% thing. But surely that policy, I'm going to ask them, but if the policy only gives the policy to the department, do they only give that yes or no, do they need to motivate why they do this? Because should I be struggling, I take my shoulder blade and there's no Afrikaans in that one. But I'm not sure what that's our power so far that question. As far as the minister is concerned, I think we said, I think it's now time that we must enter. It's less than 2 weeks from now, because the big question will be, must we correct the problem afterwards, or must we try to prevent it? Surely from a past point of view, and a court case point of view, it's easier to prevent the problem. And I think the minister may be made aware that if he's just becoming a crisis, we saw how linked a few departments really are in it. And then later on, to shame them, and then to start the court cases, and then to pay everything, and after 6 months we are somewhere. I would really prefer that the department help us to prevent the problem and put the pressure on the minister. I can do it, but maybe you best do it. Parliament, the question in Parliament, but I think it's too late, and I think that's the way we're going now. Thank you.
Thank you, honourable members. Can you respond?
I just ask sorry for that. Maybe on a light note, but still important. I think the colleague over there is quite right. Anything he was embedded, this was to the president, because the authority is there to say to everybody. I once spoke to the president on these issues, and he said, go speak to Mankashe. He was disciplined minister, but that was the answer that helped me. Technically, the bill maybe would give that question, it was the president, but at the moment, it's not, it's for this department, so we'll have to put this on them, and they'll have to play on the race here.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. Looking at the similar acts that would bind government rather than broadly, for example, the Black Economic Empowerment Act comes to mind because it only binds Oriental State to contribute to BEE rather than the private sector, and therefore they're using their economic muscle to actually bind BEE to the private sector. So, most legislation would generally be applicable, like employment equity is applicable to everyone, both the private sector and the public sector. And so the BE1, the Act, is the only one that comes to mind. Actually, when you look at residing in the presidency from an oversight perspective, that does have considerable sense. I guess then it comes to the practicalities in terms of, since this is very much aligned with the mandate of African culture, and that's where I think the reasoning was to locate it, but from enforcement and making sure that it's broader, and to avoid the president having to be accounting to the department, it would actually make sense, but I guess it's the practicalities.
To Dr. Queen to just talk about the processes of how you look at language policy, but I think it's also important to recognize that the language community in government gets together quarterly in a language forum, and so there is not, in my view, anybody that can claim that they didn't know or have an opportunity for the activist interpreter for them, precisely because of quarterly language forums as well as other forums that we have. So in that respect, I would like to believe, which is probably a slightly weak word, that the government community is well aware of its obligations with regard to the Act. And I'd like to just hand over to Dr. Joe Quinn, but before I do so, the matters of sign language are a complex and difficult one. But obviously, only an amendment to the Constitution can bring in an additional language, and that is well above my pay grade. As a government official. But I think it's also important that we begin to see some of the complexities and implications of the situation at Central and teach mandates, because that's also very much where language promotion and development lies. And so the sustained crisis at Central has also meant that a very critical stakeholder in our world is not necessarily able or capacitated to do its role and function as well. And so we are a slightly hands-on in that respect. But I'll hand over to Dr. Chukwini just to talk to some of the process issues. Thank you.
Thank you, on the issue of the South and China, which was raised by the honorable member. While my parents is not very clear is whether there is a fully developed curriculum on science, on South African China. The science, South African China is better. And the Department of Higher Education is my paragraph and is working on developing a curriculum for South African sign language. So there is South African sign language. Regarding the processes for the development of policies or drafting of policies, first it is very important to bring the attention of the honorable member here that firstly there is a need to engage fully with the stakeholders in each and every aspect of the city. Like as DDG outlined, the process is when we were developing our OGC standards, consultation in Tenant. And after that, first draft was done and it was then conducted for public comment. So, the entities as well follow the same process. They do internal engagement and discussions and finalize the assumption and then go on to seek further comments from the public and general and the stakeholders. So those are the processes which then, after having received the inputs and comments and then they incorporate those in their policies. Which again makes me unfair to the point that I raised earlier to say that in the absence of the questions themselves, we may not be able to know why they tried the situation of these Africans. Maybe they were informed by their stakeholders for various reasons to say that this is how we will cater for those who need to be served in Africa. But just for these on the phone. Thank you.
Are there any other questions or comments? Honorable Goldholm?
The department indicated they would be ready by the 2nd, 3rd of November with the implementation of the department in Shabbat in the area.
This is what they said earlier, that they as the department will be ready. Our problem is as a department that we don't know where they are, but I think that the information is going to be made available to us on where other departments are. They said they are ready. Can you proceed?
Thank you very much. And a far more recent piece of legislation is the South African Language Practitioner Council Act. Section 6 of the Constitution provides the legal framework for multilingualism, use of official languages act, which enacted in October, to regulate and monitor use of official languages. The act provides for the adoption of language policy and the establishment of national language units. However, it's essential that we have language practitioners who are essentially driving the system and making it real and ensuring that we have the quality and expertise available in the pool of language practitioners. Prior to the promulgation of the Act, there was no legislative instrument or service delivery vehicle for the accreditation of language practitioners, hence the creation of the Language Practitioners Council Act. In August 2009, we began the provisional case for the development of the Council of Language Practitioners to be known as the South African Language Practitioners Council. The business page has guidelines on the establishment and implementation of the council, and its primary job would be to professionalise and regulate language practice. Registration and accreditation, similar to how registration and accreditation bodies act in the built environment, through the Council of Built Environment, with the registration of engineers, architects, and quantity surveyors. So, in essence, the work program is divided into three phases: an interim phase, which is the appointment of suitably established personal persons to administer the process of establishing it as a legal entity; the establishment phase, the recruitment and appointment of the language practitioner council, the senior management, the staff, and the establishment of the systems; and the operationalization phase, which is essentially the induction of staff and the approval of the internal processes. This is a fairly large job to set up, and it's important to recognize how long the process may in fact take. So the business case suggests a range of alternatives to a standalone, primarily because of budget issues, and I'll take you through them in a minute. But regardless of the elected structure, the minister is still responsible for tendering of annual financial statements and annual reports in Parliament, and will be accountable to Parliament no matter which mechanism we adopt. So regulations, which we're currently looking at drafting, will give us better guidance on how to implement. One is to establish it as an independent entity. From the advantage there, it will have independence and ease of revenue collection. Government does generate revenue in a range of different components, but it's not the easiest thing to do or account for. So as an individual entity, it will be easier for it to do that work. However, there are potentially high costs with regards to overheads and compliance, although also there are possibilities of sharing resources with other entities, perhaps sharing space or sharing administrative processes like audit committees. Establishing the English Agile and Language Board, possible cost savings with regard to overhead and compliance and the speed of implementation are advantages there. But obviously the governance challenges and the inequality at Council at the moment would make that option quite disadvantageous. The establishment of the Council as a function within the Department of Arts and Culture is a possibility. There are possible cost savings with regard to overhead and compliance, and again, speed of implementation are advantages. However, the complexity of revenue collection in our own structures may prove to be difficult because initially it is envisaged that as the council rolls itself out, it will in fact generate standard revenues through the registration and accreditation processes, and of course a lack of increase from government one way or another, and of course our fairly common legal systems as well. In terms of the expected time frames, subject to allocation of businesses, the following broad time frames are beginning to emerge. The interim phase, which is the drafting of the regulations and the identification of the base model, we envision that those regulations will be completed by the 31st of March 2015. With regard to the establishment phase, the appointment of council, the appointment of staff, the establishment of systems and processes, regardless of which model is followed, council appointed by 30th of September, appointment of staff and implementation systems by 31 March 2015, and the full operational phase, which is called registrations, accreditation, processes, and database maintenance, to name just a few, by the 1st of July 2016. With regard to the drafting of the regulations, the Act was issued to on the 19th of May, and according to Section 14, the Minister, in consultation with the Board and any other relevant institution, may make regulations regarding the training of language practitioners, control over the accreditation and registration of language practitioners, and in general, any ancillary or incidental regulation necessary to be prescribed. The regulations are expected to be drafted and finalised by 31 March 2015, and a Board plan for implementing the Act will be incorporated in these regulations. One of the challenges at the moment is the financial of the Language Practitioners Council. It would be funded through a budget appropriated by Parliament, supplemented by revenue generated through registrations, accreditation, and other activities. Currently, we've engaged with the National Treasury on a proposed budget for the establishment of the Council, which at this point is in the region of 25 million rand per annum, which costs related capital expenditure, but which we can cover through the core budget of the Department of Agriculture, the capital of the budget, but for operations, 25 million. At this point, we do not have the budget allocation as yet. We're still awaiting feedback from Treasury. And in this current budget cycle, it's a very, very tight cycle. It's a holding pattern. So we've been largely instructed to finance any new priorities and imperatives from within the baseline. So the financing of the Language Practitioners Council Act is the primary challenge that we're facing at the moment. Thank you very much, Jason.
Thank you very much, Didichi. Another poor doctor?
Church, I'm sorry to open wounds here. Just want to find out how did a gentleman who was in sign language at the funeral of the late president, you know, escape to be monitored? And where was the department at that time, and how was he appointed to do the sign language at the funeral? Thank you.
American city guys also worry about that, eh? Mm-hmm.
Another question?
Yeah, this is something. My question, I'm afraid, can I add to that one? I'm very concerned. Very nervous. A question could have been killed by that guy, they say. The question is, and I understand the argument there, but that feeling, and I have thought about it a lot, is that it may be matters of oneself. They say one is still incorrect. I understand the argument because they're dysfunctional at the moment, we do something else. But I got the impression that they're looking forward, they don't know what to do, etc. So, because it's a temporary measure, you must get it going, because that would be some commitment that's going to be serious on these issues. Carry it at the park and put it to the side, but I think the long term, maybe that's the place for my point of view, we need to go to the position.
Thank you, Honorable Member. Are there any questions? Comments, Honorable Member? Honorable Coleman?
Thank you, Chair. I'm not now certain how to phrase this question. If I look at the drafting of the SMPC Act, and I'm also thinking about the implementation, I'm thinking about the training, and I'm thinking about how do you actually roll out, and the question would be, to what extent, one, is are universities involved in this, specifically with reference to training or language practitioners, because I think that there should be not guidelines, but there should be criteria against respecting the space to be recognized language practitioner, not because you are in a particular department, but because certain skills you become a practitioner. Now, how much extent are universities involved, and to what extent are organizations like the council organizations involved? I'm just thinking about the Tawa, which is an entity of the department, but also the article up here, and there's one of the English, I don't know what's the one of the English cultural organization. To what extent is that also are they involved? Because I know I was asked some time ago, do you say vehicle or vehicle, and which size is vehicle and which size is vehicle, you know, the kind of thing. So again, that background, maybe the department can assist.
Thank you,
thank you.
Another
question.
The last point that you don't have budget for this, I understand that when it's still a bill, you cost the bill, and the bill is cut on the basis that there is money for it. So I don't understand why you don't have the money that you're supposed to work with. So maybe if you can tell us what's the problem. Because you cost it, no bill is cut without being caught, and then I'm thinking that if it's passed into a law, then it is a law. And if you break the law, you suffer the consequences. So I think if you can.
With regard to the equivalent of sign language practitioner as a memorial of late President Dr. Nelson Mandela, we had nothing to do with that appointment whatsoever, so I cannot comment on the process as follows. audience came to which there was a review or revision. So my apologies for not being able to satisfy that query. With regard to the comment on the incorporation into contract and manageable expenditure subject to discussion and will be considered as we go forward. I will just hand over to Dr. Dupuis to perhaps to answer the question pertaining to the involvement of universities and other language cultural organizations in visit roles for them in with regard to the Language Practitioners Act. And I think he has a little more answer the question about Treasury, but that was exactly the argument that we presented to Treasury now, which was essentially to say that if there was always an indication of an additional allocation that would be required, and we are not entirely sure why we need to find so hard with Treasury to receive those funds. But it remains a challenge, especially with the fiscal challenges and the pressures that the budget faces at the moment. That's the message that we have from Treasury.
Any other questions or comments with regards to PEMFA? Because remember, in our last meeting, we had asked you to give us a program that's working to resolve the problem of PEMFA. Because as we said in the last meeting, that PEMFA is a very important entity, and if PEMFA is dysfunctional, it's affecting a lot of other organizations. So I hope that we did receive the program that you have. Because as we have said, Sinaga is a portfolio committee, what we do, we then say, do this, and then we wait until you do it. We don't operate like the department to say, have this unit, language units, and have this policies, and you just take your word for it. We follow and monitor what you said you are going to do, and if you are doing it in the manner that you are supposed to do it. So I'm hoping that you are going to get that information of how you plan to turn around to turn up. And there was also a question, and I'm not sure whether it responded, so how do you work with other organizations that are doing the work that on languages, how do you work? Because I know we are used to working in silos, we like it, but when we work together, I think we can have more impact, and we can ensure that we do a lot more than we would if we were doing it on our own. So there was that question as well.
Thank you
for
another question. I think the Honourable Member raised a very important point about the involvement of other organizations, especially the universities. And I would like first thing to say that they have been involved before the passing of the Act, and they will still be involved after the passing of the Act. Firstly, during the discussions, public hearings and so on, there was quite a lot of contribution that was made by the organizations that you researched. SADI, for example, South African Translator Association, played a very, very important role and made very important contributions. And it engaged the public hearings to do the presentations. The university, through the Department of Agriculture, so a few briefs, are right now training translators. The department is awarding universities the bursa to train people in translation, interpreting, and so on and so forth. Those are the language practitioners. They are being prepared so that when this act is being implemented, then we are compatible with the human resources. And also we are coming to the stage now of having to draft the regulations. The draft of the regulations will still call for public comment, and all those organizations will still have the opportunity to contribute to the before the regulations are finalized. Otherwise, what I'm saying is that there has been an opportunity.
Honorable Chair around the budget issue. We take cognizance of the fact that trade reserve is not going to be increases, and for any kind of budget available, we'd have to reprioritize. So we would have to undertake that exercise of reprioritizing some of the programs within the department and be able to accommodate this budget. I'll say, when we look at just taking into account the questions around where should the practitioners council be placed, when we look at other models within government on how this works best to even get, for example, South Africa to be rated highly when it comes to the auditing field. So you would have the Accounting Standards Board setting the actual standards, and then you have National Treasury through the Accounting General's Office to make sure that those standards are actually implemented, and then you have the Auditor General, who is regulated also by IRBA in terms of the standards they use, which is the independent regulatory board of account of auditors and accountants. And that way we are able to strengthen, we have a strengthened system. And similarly, that's where we should be actually going in terms of we have to have hands up fixed so that they can actually play that role. Or else it's like we're writing the song, we're singing it, we're educating ourselves, everything if it's contained within the department. So we need to be able to strengthen those structures so that we are able to get the best out of them. And that way we can then be able to have a very effective language, use of official languages across government and even in the private sector, like in banking, where there's a lot of interaction with the public and so forth. And so we recognize the critical importance of making sure that this works best in order to be able to achieve the desired outcomes.
Thank you very much, Akintuji. When Dr. Matsu, when you said that there are language practitioners that have been trained in universities, I think as the portfolio committee, it would be good if we know exactly how many and where are they. I think it's important for us when we are given information, it's information that can assist us. Because we want information that we will be able to monitor and to ensure that this happens. Whatever you say at the department happens. Whatever you say is out there. Because when you tell us that there are these practitioners that are being given their services, then we're going to go out there and look for them to see for ourselves if they are there. So it's important to get all the information and to have tangible figures. Because that's the only way that we can be able to monitor and ensure that what you are saying, what you say you are doing, is actually happening. Another comment? Another comment?
South Africa is in total about 46 entities. Has the department done an estimation of how much the implementation of this act would cost? And also, I see that only two of these entities have requested for the exemption from the implementation of the act. Have all the others responded? Thank you.
Yeah, I think they had responded to the question earlier, but if you can do the honor.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'll hand over to Dr. Queenie just to answer a question about the costing of the Language Act. But in terms of the information that's being presented on the public entities, those are the ones that we know of that have complied or intend to comply. But similar to the government departments, we do recognize the portfolio committee's concerns that it is a very small percentage of the 290 odd entities, as you have pointed out, and I think that there's already agreement in the committee that the minister should be playing an active role in promoting the compliance with the Act. So Dr. De Quinney, would you mind answering the question on the cost?
Thank you, Honourable Chair, Honourable Members. Regarding the costing, the apps that was costed use of official languages act, the application there is not like federalized, like it is the case with the council, where it is all out of the act. But with the use of official languages act, all the entities that honorable members, I mean the honorable member mentioned to 296 and so on, will then be in a position to also implement the act in division. The EDC, for instance, is in a position to implement the act and use whatever resources are available. And again, the same question has been raised answers, because the chair initially indicated mentioned as to when was the act passed. Because that question was intended to say where the entities given the opportunity to do the budget. And the answer to that question, yes, because the act was passed as early as 2012. So, and also over and above that, some other entities already have their language units in existence, and others did not. So it's just a matter of rolling out, implementing the act, using whatever sources they have. But as far as the country is concerned, yes, there was a business case, there was proper costing, which was done, and the figures that we showed during the presentation time. Thank you.
I was asked to add, and where do I start or continue? Anything I'm telling you, please. Sorry for the site you done. What is that? According to the problem? Looks like you've held your salary story from the committee, and therefore we will allow you to continue with your responsibilities. Much thank you for appearing and for walking us through, and also for circulating the documents reasonably early. I mean, I think we are better, we're in a better position when we receive our documents early to study, understand, and make our work to be much more effective. If I dismiss you before the chair, it's your pardon, but you know, once you leave authority, you duplicate everything with power. Okay. So it looks like we are on course, members, we will obviously then continue with our internal work. you have a vision. With all your mysteries of God, how will I get to know that?
Yeah. Yeah, this is like,
okay. On what I'm saying. Okay, Chabuchi, we did not get a return. But now, why did we get the information? And how did we get the information? And why would we have information and you not there? But I'm just saying this for my purpose that I know that there is this thing in my mind that we have that information of that if we take it to the technical issue, which I think we should tell. Otherwise, we may just listen to the first. When you have it on your audio recording, but it's not returned on your paper, it should happen.
But the reason what's also important is that people should write that. We should have a written apology. It's very important. Rather than just. Unless really you are on the way, you can't do anything in writing. I think it's important for us to ensure that people write the apologies and the refuse and we despise them. I think it's important. The discussion is saying that unless you are in a very awkward situation where you can't write, it's then the
I'm trying to remember whether I was present or not. Because I don't appear on the apologies, I don't appear on the members that are present, but I remember I was present. In the audacity today, I was here. So, the one of the Africans in here, in the Ghana, which are in Yamba.
Page 2, can you go to page 2 of the German, and I hope you should do the them timelessly so that when they come to the meeting they deal with the issues that we said they should deal with. I think it's important to follow up on the issues. It makes me uncomfortable. So those issues that we expressed in the last meeting should be taken care of in our next meeting next Tuesday. Do you want
members, I appreciate a request from the committee saying that requesting the committee to take up in 2010 because of the questions for the HD to allow my voices because the HDG early department saying that they don't have enough funds. HDG to shoot the women's later. So the request that they fly in the morning and fly out in the afternoon. So the request of the committee to push that committee again because of the traffic challenges in the morning and to parliament.
Okay. service for social Allah of Myanmar. Can you say something on the composer? They are asking that we start the meeting at 10 because the DG has to fly in and out. They don't have the budget for the DG to sleep over. So they have to fly in and out in the
it's an important issue, the question of costs, in relation to the minister, when he made his presentation, and I think the department is trying to enforce measures to save costs, something that we should consider. But as to how it is going to impact on our work, it's something that is crucial. We cannot subject our work to the constraints of the department. But perhaps what we may want to do is to structure our meeting in such a way that we have things that we are doing at 9 when we meet, except for me today. I mean, people on accident have find an alternative route to come. So, travel is very short. But I think what we could do, for instance, our manager and whether we could be there this area. And then the department at 10 o'clock could then come. In other words, we've done the much. And so that's what we can try and do.
Thank you. I remember. Are there any questions?
No, sure, person. I think the budget is definitely interesting and it's general function in terms of something. But another issue that changed the presentation is what children have been asked. We will be finished with the presentation.
I think that Honorable Masha was saying that if we start at 9, then we'll do our own stuff, we have meetings and issues that we have to discuss. Then they can come at 10 departments and then up until 12:30 or whatever time. We can discuss the issues that we have to do. So, I think it's in order. They can come in, so if the committee is allowing them to come in at 10, if they are exercising the authority,
conditional to them submitting the documents in line with what you mentioned just now. The submitting of us will have time to bring them be ready, but if they don't, we get back to it. I think it's much more conditional. No fee, no lecture. Sorry to interrupt you.
Thank you, Honorable Member. So that will be on that. Is there anything that the Honorable Member is going to say? Honorable Member?
Sorry, Chairperson. I'm guilty. I was outside this matter with the DG and I had a crisis. Let's use this situation. I'm not sure about next week. We talked about the House Council. I'm just calling you right now. Are they coming or are they not coming next week? Because I think that was planned. I just want to ask that coordination. Follow up this
The program is going on at 10, but they are just asking to come in at 10 because the DG has to fly in and out. So we are saying that, okay, we will start at 9 and have our own staff, like the meetings and what we have to discuss. And then at 10, we can have them and discuss what they have to discuss.
So there's the National Arts Council that comes in at 10. Yeah, all right. So, gentlemen, last time I said, I've got this group of artists, actors that told me in their scripts that they've got some proposals how to subsidize actors and a new system, etc., etc. And then I told them not that easy. Last time I said they can attend various type of issues. But when I think they get into the city, they have to participate, if I heard it correctly. I guess I didn't know. One of them is a professor from Bloemfontein in the department there or drama or whatever. But they want to tell him to come all the way. He's willing to come to listen and he wants to make his proposal as well, how we can better subsidize actors. But they want to make sure that before I let him come all the way, and he sits here and he said, can I waste his time and money? Yeah.
Thank you. because you remember last week when you were, when I was, I don't want to say I was pushing for the fact that people depart or anything, but it was decided that a committee meeting is an extension of the house. So we need to look at public hearings and that sort of thing. So I think what was important, have they met with the department? Have they met with the TG or whoever is responsible within the department? Because I think that should be the most suitable.
Well, they said they want to meet the DG, and they even contacted the minister's office. And they said, he said he'd see them, but they're now getting displayed at this time before 4 months in our works. So they came to me and said, well, what was the next step? We want to come to the portfolio committee. So maybe I sort of asked a few words in now. We've got their thing in front of us, but they're just sort of listening to what happened and didn't participate. Maybe I'll just tell them that's when she can come on your own risk, but you're not going to get a chance to speak to the committee. And I think then there's a way, and maybe next year we can somewhere wrangle from these rooms, give them opportunity to put their case. They believe they've got the solution for all our problems. Everybody believes that. But I think, as I said, technically, ideally, the deputy for some time speak to Parliament, just to get how we might do it, I'm not sure. But I think they get to the idea for coming to manage it, yeah.
Let's keep on looking at how we can ensure that people do participate. And maybe we'll talk to the legal advisors as well on how we can try to address this. Because we do want to listen to what the people are saying. Another question?
Chair, I'm just sorry to take you to the back. We have had this presentation. That's okay. But the question now that I do have, and I think you asked a question, and I don't think it was answered. The question that you have asked is, how far are the other departments, have they monitored the departments in terms of the implementation of the test? You have answered that it was not answered. And then maybe you mentioned that, or maybe I mentioned that, I don't think it was answered. What is the action forward in terms of complying with an evidence being promulgated by Parliament? Especially with reference to this one.
I just want to remember what we said to them, what I said to the department is that they need to give us all the departments and then to say this one has done, this is in the process, this, you know, so that we have a piece. In the next meeting, they must do that. This is why I'm saying that we need to ensure that the things that we discuss in the meeting, we pick up those matters arising from those discussions. In our meeting with the department, they just give us, you know, information that we asked from this meeting. So I think it's important. But you said they must give us that. They must give us a picture. Because as a portfolio committee, we want to have this picture. Over and above them, talking to the minister, making the minister aware so that the minister can take the cabinet. Because sometimes officials, you say, you just a teacher like me, who are you to tell me what to do? So I think it's important that the political head should be roped in so that we ensure that this very important act is implemented. Is there anything else on the agenda? I think we've disposed of our agenda if there is nothing else. I'd like to thank you very much for the work that you do and for the manner in which you engage the department, because I think this is what you need to do, engage the department and ensure that they do what they are supposed to do. And I think as the portfolio committee, we do our best to ensure that they do that. We just need to follow up on the issues that are raised here. We don't let them fall through the cracks. We follow up on them so that at the end of the day, we know that we've done our part. I would like to thank you very much. I can keep on making progress.